morning. It's so great to be here.
Well, here we are, October. You change the calendar. September's done. Kids are ready to, you know, they're in full force. What begins October for the school year?
Well, as I drove up to the high school this morning, you know, the first piece of that October 1st, it's also actually halfway through the first quarter. So the first piece I saw was a big sign saying, interim reports coming out. And I'm going, oh, that'll be really good for some and not so good for others.
Well, it just... it lets them know where they are, right? It's not, it's not the definite. This is not how it'll finish. This is just where you are right now.
That's exactly right. This is all about getting everybody through, and sometimes you need to do checks and say, you know, we might need to pick it up a little bit.
Well, that's all part of learning. Are they doing it properly? Are they studying properly? Where do they need the help? Where is their strengths? Where is their weakness?
Exactly. You know, and you know, it's always about, you know, making sure that you put those pieces in place, that regardless where the kids are as far as their learning goes, that you give them the support they need into the future. You know, and whether that's a little extra help, a period to do a little tutoring and get some things in place. The idea is 100% of them get through at the end.
This year we have some new report cards again, I guess, right? State report cards came out a few weeks ago.
Did you bring me a soapbox that I could just...
I know we've talked about this many times before, but the reason we talk many times is because it seems like every time we meet, they've changed again.
You know, they do, and it's one of those pieces that a piece of our life is, of course, state testing. You know, and that gives us a certain view of how we're doing. You know, we don't necessarily as a district agree that that's probably the best view of what we do as a school district for our kids. You know, we have a lot of other measures during the year, which you probably hear things like formative assessments. But we do a lot of checks with kids to make sure they are where they need to be at a certain age. And then, of course, towards graduation, which is our ultimate goal. And for Avon Lake City Schools, and I know this is the same with all of the school districts around Lorain County and the state, is, you know, we have overriding umbrellas that we work toward. You know, for us, it's, all right, the first thing when you walk out the door of Avon Lake High School, get your diploma, you have got this transcript that is going to allow you to make choices in the future. You know, we want you, if you want to go and work with HVAC or electricity or whatever you want to do, you've got the education you need to do that. If you want to go to technical school, if you want to do something that requires a two-year degree, if you want to do something that takes a four-year degree, if you want to go to Harvard, you know, we're going to create opportunities that transcript gives you an opportunity to do that. Now, the piece that comes into play after that is the piece that standardized testing comes in. How do you measure that? Because getting the grade and getting the credit and getting the transcript is one thing. Being able to move on to the next level and be successful. So, okay, we got you into Harvard. Are you going to be successful when you're at Harvard? You know, we got you into Ohio State or Bowling Green or Kent State or Lorain Community College, which is a great education for kids after high school. Or if we got you into that technical school, or if you just want to go work, are you going to be successful? So with the state tests, we look at it, we take it serious because, of course, it's part of our life. We take it for what it is, though. It comes from a single test that kids take once a year. We look at that data. If we need to change something within our system for the upcoming year, we do that. But the soapbox piece is all of those things were never done for accountability purposes, and we really hate it when they put A's and B's and then they compare this district to that district, because it's all apples and oranges. You know, Avon Lake is Avon Lake. You know, we're not Avon or Ridgeville or Bay Village or Westlake. You know, we're very unique, and we're proud of that.
So that's the kind of the message you have to kind of let people know. But everybody always wants to rank or put grades just to sort of quantify something, I guess.
Well, it really is, and there's all those things out there. I mean, we're ranked every year in you know, fairly close to the top 500 in the nation in U.S. News and World Report for college preparedness. You know, we're, you know, niche.com put us at number 5 in the Northeast Ohio. You know, and then we get a B on the report card as our overall grade. And you know, we're sort of scratching is, you know, our high school students have over a 25 composite grade for their ACTs, and it's like, okay, you know, what measure are we looking at here? You know, for us, it truly is, those are numbers, and we really want to look at kids and look at how they're doing and are they being successful. And, you know, sometimes we will do things that are right for kids and might not be right for that standardized test at the end of the year. But that's okay, because we're about Avon Lake kids.
How much is this, because you're in education, you focus on this? It'll show up on the newspaper or hear it on the radio one day, and the community kind of knows it. Then they move on, and they're dealing with their student in the school. And I wonder how much of this really matters, in a sense, to the community, or is there sort of funding that happens because of these things? What's the ramification?
You know, there's no funding or anything that goes along with it. Of course, for your community, you always want them to be supportive of what's going on in the school district. You know, we want to be transparent in everything that goes on. So it is, they are factors, but they're not necessarily our most important factors for us, but we want to make sure we communicate that appropriately to the community and to our parents. You know, of course, we're on one side, we're very good at communicating with our parents because we have those kids every day. And with social media, I mean, Facebook pages, we're tweeting all the time, we're sending stuff home all the time. It's a different story when you're talking about community people that don't have kids in the school anymore. You know, and you know, I've talked to several people lately. You know, we still send home a old-fashioned newsletter that goes to every mailbox and everybody can read it. You know, people would look at it and say, you're sending paper stuff home? And it's like, well, not everybody tweets, or not everybody has a Facebook page, or not everybody necessarily has a reason to go to the website and look at what's going on in the schools. And, you know, so we try to hit all different areas, so that whether you have kids now in school or whether your kids have graduated and you've retired, you know what's going on. Because it's very dynamic, and it moves very quickly, just like the world moves very quickly. You have to, you know, in education today, you have to be very, you know, quick in dealing with situations, because it happens, things change so fast.
You mentioned social media and engaging the public. I know you've had a series of public meetings about possibly shifting some schools or students around in the coming school year. Can you talk about that? Where does that stand?
You know, we had a very, very good group of parents and administrators that came together. We've got four elementary schools. They are pre-K to four. They're neighborhood schools. They are wonderful schools. Unfortunately, they're also different sizes as far as capacities go. And every year, we have to look at the enrollment areas, because just depending on where kids live, new kindergartners, that capacity either works or doesn't work. So we bring a group together periodically, and this has been about 5 years since we did it, to look at the enrollment areas and to see if that's going to continue working. And really the issue comes in is, all right, we are very serious about keeping our student-teacher ratio down. So K to second grade, we stay as close to 22-1 as possible. We're not perfect, but we like to stay there. Up to fifth grade, we like to stay below 25-1 if we possibly can. And we will close classes. And if you close classes, that means somebody that might be in the Eastview district, we're now going to have to send, if they move into town, to Westview, or we're going to have to send them to wherever we have room inside the district, which of course isn't necessarily good for the kids, because they're no longer at their home campus. And of course it's more expensive for us, because we have to bus kids around the district. So this group that you're talking about really looked at it, and we looked at everything from building new buildings to going from K to fours to K to twos and three to four buildings. And in the end, we decided that, you know what, for right now, we're probably just going to move the enrollment area lines so that we can adjust numbers to make the buildings work. They're tentatively, we're going to talk about this in the October and December. It might happen next year, or it might happen the year after. We actually just got a public hearing notice that they're getting ready to open up a new subdivision here on the east side of town. That will affect us a lot. If they put in 150, 200 new homes, that could accelerate this a little bit.
didn't realize the superintendent looks at the real estate listings for a lot of times. But I mean, there's a you are the one that serves the youth of the community, so you have to know where families might be or what the demographics are.
You know, that's a combination piece, because for us, very definitely, we have to know the demographics. We have to know trends into the future. You know, we talk to real estate agents all the time about what neighborhoods are turning over. It's sort of a bizarre thing to watch, but you really know that, okay, they opened up this subdivision in 2005. Well, people tend to buy those houses that have kids in school. And, oh, now in 2018, all of those kids are getting out of college, so everybody in that neighborhood who bought them at the same time, they're all empty nesters and they're looking to downsize. So they're selling their houses to kids that now have preschool kids or elementary kids again. So the neighborhood is turning over and it's becoming younger again. So it's a really interesting phenomenon to watch
across
the city.
Find out the same thing on trick or treat night too, when you end up having neighborhoods where you used to have a lot of kids coming through and not so much. It kind of balancing the same thing.
Well, and I laugh because my cul-de-sac is sort of in the middle of that, and you get to the point where you've got Hot Wheels, and then all of a sudden you've got Four Wheels, and then all of a sudden you're back to Hot Wheels in the driveways of the cul-de-sac.
Yeah, well, but then the school just has to adapt and figure out where the need is and bring the teachers and the classrooms to them.
It really is, and it's an ongoing process, and you know, this actually goes back to excuse me, you know, that piece with standardized test scores. You know, we're into October and it's interims and we're going hard, but for the district itself and for, you know, my staff, my administrators and my teachers, we're already planning for August of 2019. You know, so all of those pieces of where a kid's going to be, you know, we're set for this year, but you can't just go into August and say, oop, we're going to do this now.
Yeah. Where'd all these kids come from?
Where'd all these kids come from? Or we needed to change the curriculum, or we had data that came in and we need to change what's going on in a particular classroom, whether it's math or English language arts. It takes time and energy and training of our staff to get those things ready. So, you know, we're already in that mode.
That's great. Anything new you want to bring to us today? I know we always like to make sure if there's anything happening in the system.
You know, probably for us. I mean, things are going great. Like you said, golf is here today. And you start with, well, we're 6-0 in football and have had played very well this year. But I always like to mention that, you know, the marching band is doing great, and we've got tennis players and golfers, and we love our football team, but we have kids that are working hard across the district and doing very well this fall. I'd be remiss without mentioning that we do have a levy on the ballot in November. It's a little different than most. It's not new money. We have renewals that come up periodically within the district, and we've got what's called a substitute levy on the ballot, where we're taking three renewals of emergency levies and putting them together into one renewal that's called a substitute levy. So it's a little confusing, but we're putting information out in the next month or so. It's not an increase in taxes in any way. It would act just like it would if you were renewing one of the emergency levies. Mm-hmm. We're just going to do it once instead of three times.
So why do the combo? Is that the reason why?
Yeah, it's a combination. It's, you know, these have been voted in a number of times. They've been renewed a number of times. You know, the state actually made this substitute levy available about 8 years ago when they realized that school districts like Avon Lake, that emergency levies were the best type of dollar levies for the district, that they were going to end up with multiples of those. And it's like, oh, so you're going to be on the ballot renewing these like every 5 years, 10 years. We would have, with our permanent improvement, we would have four renewals in the next 5 years. And the three emergency levies are base dollars. We're only funded about 20%, actually less than 20% by the state and federal government. So our local community, which is so wonderful for us, you know, 80% of the dollars we run on come from them. So those three emergency levies are important to us as you know, money to operate on, and we'll put them all together and have one vote.
Okay. Well, we appreciate you stopping in this morning, sharing part of